listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today, once again, Kyron Stannon is back in the studio with me. Kyron's a good friend of mine. Thank you for joining us as we look at this topic this week of why Jesus.
My pleasure, Jason. Thank you, as usual, for having me. I've actually got a question for you today.
Right.
If you could go to heaven today, do you think you would actually enjoy it?
Well, that's a good question. I think we know that heaven, or there's actually two parts to life after death. One is heaven, and then there's the new earth.
Mm.
So there's two parts of it, and that's for eternity.
Mm.
And I think there's an easy,
well, yeah,
that the overall eternity, eternal life is what it's called. If we trust in Jesus, we get eternal life.
That's right.
So part of that's in heaven.
We won't go deep into eschatology.
Yeah, we'll leave that for another session. But I think there's a temptation to think, well, what are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to sit around floating on clouds playing harps all day? What is heaven really going to look like?
Because I've actually thought of this a little bit myself, because a lot of the jobs that we have here on earth won't necessarily be needed in heaven. Mm. Not jobs that are even bad. Like, think of a doctor.
Yeah.
Are we going to need doctors in heaven? Because no one's going to get sick.
There won't be any disease or sickness. So, yeah.
So how are we going to find purpose and meaning in heaven?
That's a really good question. Mm. And it's something to think about. Mm. I think for me, I would say I have a creative side that's probably a little bit underutilized on this earth, because I get too busy doing other things. So I have dreams of being creative in heaven, of writing music, of having choirs singing.
Jason's going to be in heaven's pop pop group.
I don't know whether it'll be pop group, but I think I'm going to enjoy music in heaven.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we know so little of the universe here. You know, our scientists study things that are a long way away. And this is really, our experience of the universe is so small. And so I think perhaps we're going to be able to explore things.
We've really just touched the tip of the iceberg in the past few hundred years.
Yeah, or a few thousand years even. But yes, a lot of that knowledge has been acquired in the past few hundred years. So, yeah. So I think heaven, we really have no idea what it's going to be like. But I have a certain level of trust that I have faith in God that heaven's going to be amazing, because he sort of promises that.
Mm.
And even though it might be hard for us to imagine, I think I will enjoy it.
Mm.
I do hope. So today we're going to be looking at this a little bit more. And it's not just about getting into heaven. You know, some people have this idea that, oh, God's so loving that everyone will go to heaven. Do you think that's a biblical concept?
I don't, because not everyone wants to have and seek out the characteristics of God and have them implemented in their own life through the power of the Spirit. Well,
why would God put people in a place that they didn't want to be?
No, well, that's not love. You can't force someone to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we need to look at what it is that actually prepares us for heaven.
Mm.
And I guess the question is it just something that we can do? Is it just a set of steps? We've got to do step A, B, C, D. We've got to practice it every day.
Mm.
And when we do that, then we're going to be right. It's like training for a marathon. You know, if you do X, Y, Z, you're going to get there. Or is it going to be something a little bit different to that?
I think a good example of that is biblical Israel after perhaps the return from the Babylonian exile. Like they, you know, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, the people swore that they wanted to change, and their path didn't accurately reflect what they were saying. I'm sure they wanted to initially. And I think there's even a Bible verse that says, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
There is.
Yeah. So.
And I think, I think, that's one aspect of it. And then, of course, there's the other aspect where at the time of Jesus, we had these very legalistic approaches to being good enough and effectively earning salvation by doing all the things that both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, the religious leaders, what they dictated. You had to do X, Y, Z, and if you did all of that, then you're going to be in the good books.
And it's not necessarily that what they were dictating was necessarily bad, but it was the motivations behind what they were doing it. And this is the issue that comes into play.
This is the issue. Jeremiah 17:9. Do you want to read that for us?
Yes. So the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?
Now that's hard to hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think most of us think, well, not that bad. We try to do the good things and, you know, generally speaking, we don't do too many bad things. This is a challenging sort of verse. I think, though, if we actually have a look at things, I think there's two philosophies, perhaps, let's put it that way, that there might be one group of people, maybe there's more than two, I don't know. But let's look at these two ideas that some people might think that humans are naturally good and they become bad out of necessity or they become bad out of
desperation
or even influence, you know. So therefore, if you remove the bad things and you give people what they need for survival and, you know, general food and shelter and that sort of thing, then the badness will disappear. I don't think I've seen that happen too many times. There's a certain amount of truth in that because I think sometimes people are desperate and they do things, they commit crimes in desperation. But I think it's not always the case that, okay, you just give everybody what they need and they'll naturally turn into good people and always do the right thing.
I think my 20 cents on that is that often people will then, you know, over time, it might even take generations, for example, if, you know, it's in a particular society, they will lose the significance of things. Maybe what's the word I'm looking for? Gratitude or an appreciation will naturally diminish over time.
I don't want to name names because I don't like doing that, but just in your mind and as a listener, think about some famous rich people who have had children who have been given an awful lot. So famous, you know, very wealthy people who have children, then those children are given everything they can imagine, you know, everything they need to have a great life. What often happens?
Well, I actually will name a name, but it's an ancient individual.
Okay.
But for example, if you look at
no one living today.
No, not okay. at all. If you look at in the history of Rome, there was Marcus Aurelius, who was quite a stoic. You know, stoic emperor, he's very diligent. And however, you know, you look at his son Commodus and it was just the polar opposite, you know, the playboy that basically, you know, in many ways wasn't good to be in that position of power. So I think that's a typical example of that sort of thing.
So often they say power corrupts.
Absolute power corrupts, absolutely, is this saying.
And so I think this is where this statement actually shows its truth, this verse in Jeremiah 17:9, that even though people have everything they need, often the heart is still, it says here, who knows really how bad it is. And we see over history terrible things that have happened to people when leaders who, I guess they let power, greed, wealth, money, material things go to their head and they don't treat people with love and respect.
No. And there's been actually many cases of people actually, I guess, many dictators exploiting a lot of wealth from their country and hiding it in, you know, personal bank accounts and things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think we tend towards self-centeredness, you know, and yeah, that's the results, the fruits of it.
And often those people, particularly people in positions of power, they use methods of fear and intimidation yep. to drive and control people.
Yeah.
They take freedoms away from people, such as free speech,
yeah.
Perhaps even the ability to own property and things like that.
Yeah.
So life actually becomes a pretty miserable existence when that goes to extreme.
Mm.
Romans 8 verse 7 says, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will." So I don't want to leave people feeling too gloomy here, because there is a solution to this, but it's a matter of recognizing that ultimately we tend towards this nature.
Our trajectory is our spiritual trajectory is negative.
Yeah, we're born into this nature that by default we have a nature of selfishness, and it's not to say that, you know, young children can show amazing acts of love at times, and yet at other times they can be very selfish when they're you know,
and often they go quite quickly from one to the other.
Yeah,
and I think that can be us. In fact, I think the relationship between a child and a parent is very similar to the relationship with humanity with God.
So, why would heaven feel uncomfortable to some people? Well, heaven, I think, or the life after this life, is going to be focused on selflessness, not selfishness. It's going to be focused on love. It's going to be focused on, you know, obedience to God's way. And if they're things that we just can't get our head around, if they're things that we just don't want to know about, we're not going to feel very comfortable in a place like that.
No, we're going to feel out of place, you could say.
We would feel very out of place. I want to read a little bit from John 3. Now, in the middle of this passage is one of the most famous Bible verses, so I'll let you see whether you can find it. It's part of what we're about to read. But can you read these first three verses here, John 3, 16 through to 19?
Yep. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil."
It's an interesting statement, isn't it? If we love the darkness more than the light, because we don't like a light being shone on our
imperfections
or our deceitfulness or our, you know, the shameful stuff that we don't want to talk about.
And I think too, that's where a lot of image-based stuff comes from too, because we know some of these things are wrong, even though we struggle with them. So, you know, we try to put on a good face and put our best foot forward, but and hide our struggles. I mean, is that something that we see in life, Jason, do you think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We always want to present the best. Just go look at social media.
Yeah, exactly. that's the perfect example of this. Yeah.
We always put the good pictures up. I mean, some people then, you know, do the opposite just to make a point, I guess, of, you know, like the no makeup pictures that you see.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not so much a thing for men, but they come across your feed from time to time. So I guess we need to move through this into, I guess, the next part of our pathway here. So we don't want to be stuck in this state of sinfulness, because that's a dead end. That's a gloom and doom. But we know that God has a way, and he says, we just read it there, mm-hmm. that for God so loved the world that he sent his son not to judge the world but to save mm-hmm. the world. And ultimately, God's light came into the world. I think that's referring to Jesus here.
Mm.
But people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. So we need to seriously think about who Jesus was,
mm-hmm.
why he came here. And we need to also have a look at, you know, is it just a matter of, I asked this earlier in the program, just a matter of following a set of steps? Do we just need to get the best self-help book and learn how to, you know, brave up and face the things and do what we need to do? And
it's interesting because when you look at the Bible, the Old and New Testament, in a way, I think a lot of the Old Testament shows that people, you know, when there was the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses in Israel, that didn't change people's hearts. It wasn't that these things were bad in and of themselves, but they weren't enough to change people's nature.
Mm.
And I think in the New Testament, it presents the answer to that.
And yeah. That's what we're going to look at definitely in our next two programs. Job 14:4 says, who can bring purity out of an impure person? No one can. So ultimately, we need something that's completely changed. We need to change our nature from something that is impure to pure.
Mm.
And I don't believe that we can do that through our own strength. I think there is a tool, there is a secret, there is a methodology, but that's entirely based on Jesus, and that's why we need Jesus. That's what we're talking about this week. We need a transformation of our heart. We're going to talk about that again tomorrow. So today, I just want to recap, I guess. We do have real issues that our nature is against God. Our default is against God. And it's not just an external thing, it actually is an internal thing, and it's sort of a heart matter. And I don't think we can change ourselves by default. We can make choices. That's one thing we can do. We can make choices. But I don't think it's always just a matter of following a set of steps to get to where we need to go. I think there's something more than that, and we're going to have a look at that in our next episode. But right now, we're going to go to our book offer, so stay tuned for that.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer this week is called Steps to Jesus. This is by Ellen G. White. Jesus wants to be your best friend. And this little book is a moving introduction to a friendship with Jesus for both those who have never heard of him and those who have walked with Jesus for years but would like to know him better. In just 13 short chapters, you'll discover the steps to finding a forever friendship with Jesus, filled with joy. You'll read about his love for you, repentance, faith and acceptance, growing like him, the privilege of prayer, what to do with doubt, and how to spend your days rejoicing in your best friend, Jesus. That's our book offer today, so do text us in. TEM67 is the code, TEM for Tassie Encounters Moments, no spaces, and the number 67, TEM67. Text that into 0488 880 891. So we need a solution to this problem that we find in ourselves, and tomorrow we're going to talk about that, and we've titled it More Than a Reset. So do join us then as we continue this topic, Why Jesus? As we go out today, this is Brian Doerksen with the Refiner's Fire. May you encounter Jesus more today and each day.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, Lord.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.